continue this morning on our series. Some of you have been gone because of weather and things like that and holidays, but we've been talking about traction and finding traction. We started a couple weeks ago, remember, and we looked at the children of Israel and how they went into the wilderness with great traction but got stuck. And we don't have time to go through all that. You can get a copy of that sermon through the office or online if you miss it. But we looked at how they got stuck and what God did to restore traction in their lives. And then last week, we talked about finding traction when dealing with temptation and sin, which is something we all deal with. This is not for a special group in our church. It is common to man. We all deal with it. God said we would. In fact, that's why there are scriptures. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, because it is going to be present. God's not saying that we won't have temptation. He's not saying we won't have sin issues in our life. But what he is saying is we don't have to get stuck. Amen? We don't have to get stuck in that. And we talked about the traction. I was going to test you, but I'm not going to do that to you. This is our acrostic we had last week. When you need traction and you're in temptation and sin, here it is. You need to spend time with God. Amen? That's usually where we trip up. We need to take personal responsibility for our lives. Stop blaming other people for our situation. But take personal responsibility. We need to have action, active waiting. We're waiting on God, but it's an active waiting where there's forward motion. Confession. We confess our sins to God. 1 John 1:9. That's not written to heathens. That's written to believers. And he said, if you say you have no sin, you're calling God a liar. The sin issue is real, but God says, I want you to confess that sin. He also encouraged us to confess our sins to one another. Why should we do that? Because it brings strength, doesn't it? We begin to pray and intercede for one another. A spirit of thanksgiving needs to exist in the midst of your struggle. Always praise God. Strange as it sounds, in the midst of the temptation, we begin to worship God and thank Him for what He's going to do through the process as we navigate through it. We need to identify with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Amen? Are you? Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this fleshly body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Others, we need to have accountability partners. Amen? So you say, well, all I need is God. Well, yeah, that's a true statement, but God said it's not good that you be alone. God said that we need each other. He made it this way. You weren't made to be an island to yourself. And if you're stuck in temptation and sin, which God does not want you to be there, and you're just circling, you're in a holding pattern, and you're dealing with the same old that you've been dealing with for months, maybe years, you're stuck. And God does not want you to be stuck. And this is a process to get traction. Forward motion is what we're looking for. And having an accountability partner, do you meet with people on a regular basis? I got some guys I've met with for 20 years. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, they will speak the absolute truth to me. Amen? You need people who will hold up a mirror in front of you and be able to speak truth to you, not just stroke you, but really help you get traction in your life. And last, of course, that we never, ever want to give up. Well, this morning, we're going to move on, and we want to talk about traction as we place our trust in God. If you want traction in your life, it comes through placing our trust in God. And this morning, we're going to have a subtitle to our message, and Chase got me his wheelbarrow last night, brought it by my house for our visual aid day. We want to talk about trusting God in the wheelbarrow of our life. You say, well, that's a strange thing to say. Well, some of you know this story, but the wheelbarrow reminds me, whenever I pick up a wheelbarrow, I think about this. There was a well-known tightrope walker in the mid-1800s, and his name was Charles Blondin. And this is a picture of him here. And he was best known for taking a tightrope and putting it across Niagara Falls. And he would walk, and sometimes he'd do crazy stuff like you see in this picture. I don't know how many of you would volunteer for that job to ride on his back, but he would walk across Niagara Falls, and people would come by great crowds, and they would sit on both sides of the fall to watch him do some of these daredevil acts. And one never knew really what he was going to do. In fact, one day he shows up, he says, I'm going to do it blindfolded. Everybody, whoa. And he did it. And he was quite successful. But I found this flyer, which leads us to our illustration today, because this is the moment that gained him the most notoriety, when he said, I am going to push a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls. And so he did. And people came to watch it. And the and of course, this little flyer here, it cost 25 cents to come and watch. That's cheap, but that's a lot of money back in the mid-1800s. That'd be a lot of money to spend to see this. But people were enthralled by him. But one day, people even came internationally to watch him do this. And one day, the Duke of Newcastle from London came to observe his act. And he was sitting there watching. And so the Duke kind of pulled out all the stops, you know, international visitors. And he took his wheelbarrow and he pushed it across the falls to the other side. And then he took a sack of potatoes and he put it in the wheelbarrow. And then he pushed the wheelbarrow back again. And everybody clapped with excitement. That was really cool. And he walked up to the Duke of Newcastle and he said, Duke, he said, do you believe that I, after what you've seen here today, do you believe I could put a person in this wheelbarrow and push them across the falls safely? And the Duke said, oh, yes. After what I've seen here today, I believe you could certainly do that. He said, that's good. He says, I'd like you to volunteer to get in the wheelbarrow. But the Duke declined. He declined. Now, I don't know about you, but I would decline too, all right, if I was the Duke. But it reminded me, as I thought about this story, I thought, gee, we're that way with God, aren't we? Because we've seen God do awesome things, wonderful things, and we're in awe. But then the moment comes in our life when God says, are you going to get in the wheelbarrow? Would you trust me to push you safely to the other side? And our problem is, there are days we would and days we wouldn't, isn't it? Because the problem for the Duke was, he realized this person had great capacity to do what he was doing. And he had never failed at the task, so why would you not trust him? But there was this little problem called Niagara Falls. And they could hear the roar of the water. And they could feel the mist of the spray on their faces. And it was a constant reminder to them, this is dangerous. Something terrible could happen. What if, and they started playing, you know, what if I could be the one time this guy fails, could be with me? And so he respectfully declined the offer. But I believe that this is an image for us today because God is calling us into a dangerous situation. How many believe life is dangerous sometimes? Amen. How many of you, this has just been a cakewalk for you? I mean, you haven't had any problems in life, right? Everything's been wonderful. Your kids glow in the dark. You know, your marriage is perfect. Never any problems. Or how many of you are struggling right now? Because it's not as easy as some people make it sound. But I believe today that God wants to give you traction in your life. And it's going to be through our ability to be able to trust in Him. And we're going to begin with Solomon, because Solomon penned some words that are so famous on this topic of trust. Many of us know this scripture by heart, do we not? But Solomon encouraged us, exhorted us with these words. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Wow. I believe this is a scripture that can give you traction in your life. You talk about forward motion, this is where you find it. This is a place God is calling us to. It's an important topic because in Scripture alone, we find 147 times in the Bible, it talks about trusting God. In the New Testament, 13 times, and in Psalms alone, 44 times we're exhorted to trust in God. This must be something on the heart of God for us, something He desires for us. In the Hebrew, there are over 11 different Hebrew words translated trust. And in the Greek, there are several expressions for this word that we translate in English as trust. However, in our text today, the Hebrew word that's used comes from the root refuge. It means to be confident and secure. Confident. Who here today needs refuge in your life. Sometimes in life, I mean, when you think of the word refuge, what comes to mind? A safe place. A place you can go and be protected. And he said, this particular word has a powerful punch to it because he's talking about having this level of confidence and security in God when we trust him with our whole hearts. Now, in your insert this morning, we want to look at three roadblocks from this text that oftentimes may hinder us in really being able to get traction in this area of our life. Three things that he indirectly shares with us that I see in my own life. Now, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me, okay? If you happen to have the same experience, you can join in with me today. But I found this to be true in my own life. And one of the things that often hinders me in getting traction in the area of trust is what he talked about as partial trust. He said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. With all your heart. The tendency we have sometimes in my walk, okay, you can peek in on my life if you'd like, is that sometimes I'm piecemeal with my trust. I trust God in some areas, but I don't trust God in other areas. And here the writer is pretty clear. He says, God is wanting us to trust him with all of our heart. So oftentimes I can trust God with my marriage, but maybe I can't trust God with my finances, or vice versa, or my children. You know, God's saying, he's calling us to a place of total trust in our lives. He's calling us to get into the wheelbarrow. In James 1, 5 through 8, the writer tells us what happens when we allow this roadblock to come into our life. He declares, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. And let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. See, when we have partial trust, we are like this analogy. We oftentimes, we're looking at the height of the waves and the direction of the wind, and we have a tendency then to be partial in our trust, and we back off. Who had that experience? We talk about him often. Peter, right? He walks on the water. He gets out there. Does he have confidence? Yeah. He's ready, man. He's got traction, but what happens? He takes his eyes off Jesus, right? And we know the result. He said, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I have found in my own life, when I struggle with trusting God, it oftentimes puts me in a place of great instability. Oftentimes I find myself unstable, wishy-washy, I find myself slipping and sliding and not having the traction that I need. In Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. What does God want? He wants all, right? He wants all. And when we start becoming piecemeal about that, we struggle and we don't get the traction we need in our lives. So today, God is calling us to a place through Solomon's words to trust him with all our hearts. Now, how important is this heart thing anyway? Well, in 1 Samuel 16, we know the story where the prophet shows up to anoint the next king of Israel, and he goes through all Jesse's boys, and he can't find the guy, but God told him, one of these boys, but he must not be here. And so we know that David comes on the scene, and he gets anointed. And God teaches Samuel an important lesson that day. He says, man looks on the outward being, but God, he looks on the heart. It's all about the heart. Jesus talked about the heart all the time. In Matthew 6:21, he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Matthew 15, these things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and that is what defiles a man. It's all about the heart. John 7:38, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, out of your heart will flow rivers of water. So is it a big deal to God? To give him our whole hearts? Yeah, because out of that comes the issues of life. And so Solomon, rightly so, is exhorting us today to trust God with all our hearts. And so I declare to you today, if you're piecemealing this in your life, and I don't know all the things that are going on, but if you've got areas in your life, I'm trusting here, but I'm not trusting here, today's your day to get traction. God's wanting it all. He's wanting it all. Secondly, he says, do not lean on your own understanding. So oftentimes it's partial understanding that is our problem, right? Don't lean on your own understanding. In fact, if you look at verse 7, we have a warning. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. So oftentimes in our walk, we think we know and we don't know. And we have a tendency to lean on what we know. That's what the Duke of Newcastle was doing. He knew what he knew. He knew about the falls. He knew about the danger. He was sizing it all up. He's being analytical about it. Nothing wrong with that. And he reached his conclusion. But listen, there's more to the story than what you can see in your life. That's why God is calling us to trust him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Why? Isaiah 55, 8 to 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Here's a good thing to write down. God is big and you are small. God is big and you are small. See, my ways are not his ways. And I look at things a lot different. Sometimes God does things and I don't quite always understand it. And so I got to be careful that I don't lean just on my own understanding. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see him in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. You must know your limitations to your understanding. You can know a lot, and God wants you to know a lot. But listen, we're limited. There's partial understanding. But I know the God who knows everything. I know the God who understands it all. I know the God who sees the beginning and the end, who numbers the stars and calls them by name. I know the God who has written in the book my days before I've ever lived them. So where am I going to put my trust? I want to put my trust in the one who knows. Now, don't misunderstand. I am not saying in any way that our faith is an anti-intellectual faith or an anti-emotional faith. It is not. It is not. But when we trust God, that means that when we are seeking in our own responsibility, figuring out what we're supposed to do in our lives, we do it with the understanding that God's desires and his will is in the center of every decision that we make. It's not a just let go and let God mentality, but it's seeking his wisdom and his will. How do we do that? We do that when we pray. We do that when we read our Bibles. We do that when we pray. When we seek counsel from others, we're saying, I'm not leaning on my own understanding. God, I need you. I need your wisdom. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask of me, and I will give it to you liberally. All right? Say, I don't need wisdom. Oh, really? I need wisdom every day because I'm limited in my understanding. He's not saying that your understanding is not important. He's just saying don't lean on it. Don't depend on it. All right? Because there's more than what you can see and know. I know that when people say, well, I know what the scripture says, but what have you just done? You are leaning on your own understanding. Well, that might be true, but I love the story when the disciples were fishing. Remember Jesus on the shore and Peter, and he goes, hey, Jesus says, they fished all night, right? And they caught nothing. And they didn't catch anything. And Jesus says, hey, cast your net on the other side. And what does Peter say? Well, Lord, we fished all night. We haven't caught anything. But at your word, I will do it. Because see, this was a professional fisherman. He knew his stuff. But he knew even what he knew wasn't enough. He couldn't lean on that. But he would lean on the word of God. And God said, Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. And we know what happened, right? The catch was so great. Well, here's a third thing that may hinder your traction if you're not careful. He says that we are to acknowledge God in all our ways. In all our ways. Key being all our ways. What does the word acknowledge mean? It means to make known, to know. It means to acknowledge. Have you ever been in a room where you felt invisible because no one ever acknowledged you were there? Have you ever been? That's an uncomfortable place to be. You go to a party or something and, gee, nobody's talking to me. How do you mean? Think God might feel that way sometimes, you know? We're doing all this activity in the church and we're doing all these things, but we never acknowledge God in it. We need to acknowledge God in everything we do. In 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. It's for His glorification, and we need to be sure that we are acknowledging Him in every single area of our lives, whether that's the victories or the struggles, the ups, the downs, it doesn't matter. In every area, He says, I want you to acknowledge God in all your ways. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. All right? We do it unto the Lord. When you go to work Monday, you're working for the Lord. All right? You need to acknowledge that. Everything you do needs to acknowledge that. The way you work should acknowledge that reality, that you're acknowledging Him in all things. You need to acknowledge Him in the plans you make, in the way you think, your dreams, your activities, your spending, your decisions. You need to acknowledge Him in the lives and the discipline of your children. You need to acknowledge Him in how you spend your money. Everything. There's nothing that's excluded from this, you see. In the small things, in the great things, in the personal things, in the corporate things, in the temporal, in the eternal, there's nothing excluded. He says to acknowledge Him in all things. Not some things, not most things, but all things. Watch out for the sacred secular divide. We talk about it often, where, well, this is secular and this is sacred. No, it's all sacred. It's all sacred. It doesn't matter what you're doing, where you work. It's all unto the Lord. We need to acknowledge Him in everything. In that scripture we quote often, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, right? See, when you pray with thanksgiving, what are you doing? You're acknowledging Him, aren't you? Even in the midst of your need, when you could be anxious, yeah, and you take that need to God and you thank Him in the midst of it, you are acknowledging God in that situation, even in that need. And that's what God desires. He wants us to be talking about Him. He wants us to be talking Him up, you know, around folks. Listen, I'm just going to acknowledge God. I'm going to thank God in this situation. I'm going to thank God in this need. Hey, some of us, we've been waiting a long time in situations, but we're trusting God anyway, and we're just going to acknowledge Him, be aware of His presence in everything. Well, listen, now let's move forward here, because we want to talk about what happens when we break through in some of these things that are hindering us from moving forward in trusting God. What happens when we break through and really begin to trust Him? First off, what is the promise of our scripture today? He says that if we'll trust Him with all our heart, not lean on our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge Him, what's the promise? He will direct our paths. Some of you are wondering what you're supposed to be doing in your life. And you're struggling, you're wrestling, and you're like what James talked about. You're the waves and winds are blowing you around. Your problem is you're not trusting God in that. You need to trust God for that direction. Now, listen, this is a promise for us. How many know whenever there's a promise, there's always a problem? There's only reason a promise exists is because there's a problem. Is it true? Is marriage a promise? Is it a problem? You guys are looking straight at. That's other people, not he's not. Hey, my wife and I, we had a struggle this week, got in a little conflict with each other. But there was a promise for that problem, which will take me to the provision. Every single time. We've got to look for the promise. Are children a promise? Are they a problem? Well, you didn't have any problem confessing that, did you? Yeah. Yeah. We have all these promises that God has given to us, but they're tied. Whenever there's a problem, always look for the promise, because the promise is going to take us to the provision. God wants to give us direction. Amen. Psalms 23:3. We spent 6 months on this. The 23rd Psalm, right? What He restores my soul and what? And He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, right? All right. He leads me. Well, if He's leading me, that means I need to follow Him. And if I'm going to follow Him, that means I must trust Him, right? Because He's out in front of where I'm going. Hello. He's not pushing us. He's leading us. But it requires a level of trust like Solomon is talking about, especially when he crests that hill and I can't see him anymore and I'm supposed to follow anyway. But Lord, where are you taking me? Hello. Has anybody ever questioned God? God, what are you doing? What is this all about? But He's wanting our trust. Proverbs 4:18 in the NIV. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun. shining ever brighter till the full light of day. I love that scripture. I love it. Because what it's saying is that for the believer who trusts in God, that path of righteousness starts in the morning. And then as the day goes along, what happens? It gets brighter and brighter and brighter, he says, till the full light of day. That means as you live your life, as you continue on your path, it's going to become brighter. That's traction, man. You are moving through life as you trust God, and he is illuminating your path. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:7, the writer says, We walk by faith, not by sight. Abraham was given a promise, wasn't he? Boy, did he have some problems. But God gave him a promise. He's going to leave the land he knows for a land that he doesn't know. Does that require trust? Yeah, you're going to leave. And the scripture, you've seen, when things were contrary to hope, in hope he believed. It took a high level of trust to be, okay, God, I know you said, what about Joseph? Man, God gives Joseph this incredible dream. That's a great promise, isn't it? Did it get followed by a bunch of problems? Yeah, let's see. My brothers tried to kill me. A woman accused me falsely. I ended up in jail falsely, and then they forgot about me in jail. You better hang on to the promise when you're in the midst of that much trouble. Because it's trusting in that promise, that refuge that God has provided for us, that confidence that he has given to us. Amen? That's what God is calling us to. That confidence, the security that God wants to give us as we trust in him. All right? Okay, here's the second great traction you're going to get as you learn to trust in God. And that's joy and peace. Hello? Who are the people who walk in joy and peace? They're people who trust in God. I've never found a person who walks in joy and peace who doesn't trust in God, who doesn't have that refuge and confidence in God. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, Philippians 4. We talked about it, right? Don't be anxious for anything. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, here's the promise. What's he tell us? Because we're acknowledging God here in this thing. We're trusting God with all our heart. And what's he say is going to happen to us? Have you claimed this? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Who needs a little bit of that today? See, that's the farthest thing from my life. It's because of a lack of trust. Because when you start trusting God and you start acknowledging God and you stop leaning on your own understanding, this is where God is going to take you. Can you receive that? Amen? That's God's promise for you. God wants you to be full of joy and peace, and it comes as we trust him. Thirdly, I believe this is one of the greatest benefits of listening to what Solomon has had to say. It brings us to a place of growth and strength. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Is waiting, is that trusting? Yeah, if you're waiting, what's that mean? If you're waiting for something that hasn't happened yet, right? The definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is not for what you have, but for what you don't have, and the evidence of things not seen. And here he's saying, those who wait on the Lord, those who put their faith in God, those who trust in God in that situation that they're in, they shall renew their strength. God's going to make you strong as you trust in him. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Man, that's great. We're going to walk, we're going to run, we're going to fly as we trust in him and wait on him. But I know waiting is the most difficult thing for us. It is for me. I forgot, I'm talking about me. Right, it's for me. Right. I'm the guy that goes to the grocery store and changes lanes. Oh, that one looks shorter. I think I'll go over there. Whoops, wrong choice. I'm going over here, right? And I found something. The length of the line doesn't mean anything, does it? It doesn't mean anything. Don't be fooled by that, right? Well, I'm on this search, and what ends up happening to me? I didn't save time. It cost me more. I've often said, if I'd have stayed in that line, I'd already be through there right now, right? You know you've done that, haven't you? You've done that. I know you have. I think, man, Joe, you should just stay if you could have a little more patience, you know. But that comes through trust, doesn't it? Because the difficulty is I don't like waiting. But God says, if you trust me, you'll become strong in waiting. The more you wait on me, the stronger you're going to become. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. I like it from the New Living Translation. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I believe as we trust in him and put our trust in him, our roots will go deeper. And we will become strong. And notice the context is love. Because as you trust God, you do it because you know that God loves you. And that is the key, isn't it? And if we doubt that, it causes us to back away, and we can't wait, and we can't trust, because we begin to question whether God really does love us and care for us. And wasn't that the first temptation in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden? What did Satan tempt Eve with? He said, listen, God's holding back on you. God knows in the day you eat of that tree, you'll be just like him. He was getting her to question that, where she couldn't trust in the words that God said. God said, well, God said this. Well, yeah, but really. See, so when we begin to understand God's love for us, it helps us be able to trust more. So the question this morning is pretty simple. Do you trust God enough to get in that wheelbarrow and trust him to take you safely to the other side? Even though everything around you is screaming the opposite, can you trust him? This is the traction that gives us forward motion in our life. Without it, you're not going anywhere. You're stuck. Are you going to trust him today in your situation? But here's the most important question. What is keeping you from trusting him? I know for me, issues that keep me from trusting. Sometimes my doubt. Sometimes my unbelief. Sometimes what I see, what I hear, causes me to back off. But I want you to know something today. God's not mad at you about that. God's not, that's not his heart. He wants you to trust him, and he's doing everything to draw you to him so that you can come to that place and you can find direction. And you can find joy, and you can find peace in your life, and you can find the growth and strength that you know God has promised you. That is the traction God wants to give to us as individuals and as a church. And here's the reality of that. It starts right here at this table today. Because if you can't trust God here, you won't be able to trust him on the path of life. That's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance. Remember what I did for you. Trust in it. And there are days, I got to be honest with you. You know, I believe I'm born again, blood bought, purchased. I'm the beloved of God. But there are days I don't feel like it. There are days I wonder. This week I was kind of mean to my wife one day, you know. I didn't feel very saved. Well, gee, this isn't the way. And you're a pastor too, you know. Good Lord. But you know, when you stumble, when you fall, what do? You put your trust. God, I'm trusting you. You said that I'll stumble. You said there's times I'm going to stumble, but I'm going to get back up again. You said the righteous can fall seven times and rise again. Glory to God. You going to put your trust in that? Are you going to put your trust in the reality that God's Jehovah Jireh is going to provide for you? I know there's a brother sitting right back here that lost his job this week. He showed up at work, didn't know that was going to happen. Boom, you're gone. You went home. Honey, I lost my job today. Whoa, am I going to get in the wheelbarrow and trust God that even though I feel the mist of the rain of life, I feel the winds of life blowing against me, the waves are getting bigger, sometimes can I still trust him? I believe you can. And that is your forward motion. Who needs that today? I want to pray with you, and then we're going to come to this table. We're going to dip the bread in a cup, and we're going to take it. As we do that, I want you to acknowledge today, I want you to say, God, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. Those little pieces over here, I'm bringing them over. They've been off the table. I'm putting them on the table today. I'm going to trust you in it. I'm going to wait on you. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust in the work that you have done. And I'm going to acknowledge you today in my situation. I am acknowledging your presence in my life as I take this bread. And I'm bringing everything to this table today, and I'm leaving it there. I know some of you got some children you're really worried about. Say, Pastor, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and it's just getting worse. It's not getting better. That's the sound of the falls. But I know the God who I can trust in that situation, and there's a promise that's attached to my problem. And it will take me to the provision, but I must trust Him in it. Father, we come today and we put our trust in You. Forgive us, Lord, because we have been trusting You for things we want instead of things You want in us. We lay all those things down. It's not what I want. I'm trusting You for what You want to do in my life and through my life. And I know that all the pieces are going to fit together. And when it seems like everything's coming apart, maybe really things are coming together and I just don't know it yet. And that's why I trust You so. Father, forgive me for times when I've given the trust that belonged to You to a person when it really belongs to You. Father, today I commit personally as a pastor of this church and in my own personal walk, I want to trust You with my whole heart, every bit of it. And I want to stop leaning on what I know. But I want to lean on You and what You know. And Father, I want to acknowledge You in every single area of my life and ministry. And I pray it be so for this congregation, for every marriage, every home, every relationship, every situation. Father, it all comes to this table of trust. You've died for us. You shed Your blood. You paid the price. We are free. And we, how can we not trust You? We say, as the disciples said, Lord, where could we go but to You? I pray that be true. We know that trust is a choice. And today we choose this table. And we put our trust in You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bread in the cup, and then make your way back up the side aisle again before we dismiss. God bless you as you come. Would you stand with me, please? Okay, here we go. We're going to trust in the Lord with all our heart. That means we're getting in the wheelbarrow. We're not going to lean on our own understanding. That means we're going to let God push the wheelbarrow. In all our ways, we're going to acknowledge Him. That means we're going to stay in the wheelbarrow. My problem is I get out and in, and out and in, and out and in. God's saying, why don't you stay put, Joe? Just stay put, because if you keep getting out and halfway in, halfway out, that's instability. That's a double-minded man. And He will direct my paths. I'm going to rest in Him and His ability to take care of me and accomplish His purposes, which are perfect in my life. Amen. Would you join me in that as a faith community church? Would you do that? And take the hand of the person next to you and the one you love most standing next to you, and you're going to agree together. Father, we are agreeing to these words today, and we want them to be more than words. We don't want to be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, who heard it but didn't do anything with it. Father, we hear so much, but Lord, we want to apply what we've heard. We want to take the knowledge You've given to us and let it work in our lives. Father, I thank You for Your promises and even the problems that are attached to them. But most important, the provision that comes out of them. We celebrate that today, and we put our trust in You. Thank You, Father, for what You've done for us. We love You, and we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen.